Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, presenting a new Dr. Christian prize play called The Liar by George D. Griffin of Washington, D.C., starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian with Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price. Men, dry scalp is a thief. Yes, dry scalp robs you of an important asset in business and social life, good grooming. If you have dry, unruly hair, if you're bothered with loose dandruff or itchy scalp, remember these are signs of dry scalp. Remember, too, any one of these conditions may be aggravated by sun, wind, and water. So start using Vaseline Hair Tonic today and check dry scalp. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements the natural scalp oils, contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Just 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic a day, applied with comb or directly on the hair, checks dry scalp, keeps hair neatly in place. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Vaseline Hair Tonic is the ideal care for scalp and hair. And the proof is this. More bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. And so to our prize-winning play, The Liar. And it begins in Dr. Christian's office.
Dr. Christian's office?
May I speak with the doctor, please?
One moment, please. Doctor, it's for you.
Thank you, Judy. Hello, this is Dr. Christian.
Paul, this is Lydia Parker.
Why, Lydia, how nice hearing your voice again. I had no idea you were back in town.
We just got in this morning on the train from Chicago.
We?
Yes, I brought Lucy back to River's End for a good rest. She hadn't been well ever since Emil died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know.
What I really called for, Paul, I cut myself rather badly opening a can of soup for lunch. Nothing serious, I suppose, but we haven't a thing in the house to put on it, and I shouldn't like it to get infected.
Of course not. Could you come down to the office?
Certainly. When?
Just a moment. What's on the schedule for the rest of the afternoon, Judy?
Well, Mrs. Hudson's waiting for you now, Doctor, and you're due at the hospital at 4. We might squeeze her in about 3:30.
Could you be here at 3:30, Lydia?
I can, Paul. Thanks so much.
That's quite all right. Be nice seeing you again. Bring Lucy along with you.
Oh, thank you, but if you don't mind, I think I'll come by myself. Lucy was completely worn out by the overnight ride, and she's been sleeping since lunch. Besides, I wanted to talk to you about her.
Lucy's not well, Paul. I took her to a specialist in Chicago, but he didn't do anything for her under the circumstances except prescribe a tonic.
It's her nerve, then, huh?
I suppose it is, in a way. Although she looks perfectly healthy.
Then what are her symptoms?
Oh, it's hard to explain. Some way she's quite normal. Too much so. You don't know better. But in others, she's so queer.
Queer? In what way, Lydia?
Well, it's difficult to describe. Paul, how well do you remember Lucy?
Why, well, of course, I haven't seen her for almost 40 years. But I remember her as a lovely young lady.
I mean, what things do you recall about her? The way she acted.
Acted?
You've forgotten the odd things she used to do?
I'm afraid I have. I always thought Lucy was a very normal girl.
Then perhaps she was around you. You were rather sweet on her, as I recall.
Oh, I liked Lucy. You knew that.
Yes. I just meant that perhaps your feeling for her blinded you.
To what?
To the queer ideas she had. Things she used to say.
What things, Lydia? I don't recall Lucy being very talkative. I always thought she was quite shy.
Yeah, she was, around outsiders. But at home in the family, she used to talk a lot. Too much.
Lydia, I don't understand. Is there something wrong with Lucy that we can straighten out?
That's what I'm afraid of. That it can't be straightened out. It's been going on for years. Only now it's much worse.
But what is it she does? What's wrong with her?
Well, Paul, she lies. And she imagines silly, dreadful things.
Lies? Imagines? But what?
Oh, dear. This is so difficult for me to say.
Well, are you sure it's really so serious that you're not exaggerating? You know, Lydia, you and Lucy are at an age when it's only natural for there to be temporary emotional upsets of one kind or another.
Not that, Paul. This has been going on for years.
But what sort of things does she imagine? What has she been lying about?
That's just it. She lies about nothing at all.
Nothing?
Nothing. Everything. She lies when there's no reason to. She prevaricates about little everyday things, like where she's been, what she did, or maybe who called.
But surely there must be some reason.
That's what's most disturbing, for no reason at all. There's no reason for her to lie to me.
She does, though, lie to others?
Oh, yes. But you see, when they're only around occasionally, they have no reason to suspect what she's doing. And she carries it all off without their ever knowing.
And you've never given her away?
To them? Oh, no, that'd only make it worse.
But she does know that you know better, that you don't believe her inventions?
Oh, yes, she knows. But we don't talk about it.
Well, why not? Have you ever challenged her statements?
Yes, once. It was years ago. I don't recall all the circumstances, but it had something to do with a beau whom we both thought we wanted. You know how jealous sisters can be, particularly about men. Seems silly now, but at the time it was very important to us. And Lucy, in her determination that I shouldn't get him, told the wildest tales about me.
Could that have been, by any chance, the time you went to the graduation dance with Charlie Summers?
Why, yes, I believe it was. How on earth did you remember?
I had asked Lucy to go with me, as I recall, but she was ill and stayed home.
Yes, she really was quite ill.
But surely there's something more serious than that. I mean, there
must be... That her lying isn't enough to worry about? No, Paul. I wouldn't let it bother me if it were confined to that. But it doesn't stop there.
Lydia, are you trying to say that there's something dangerous about Lucy's condition?
I don't know. Not dangerous, perhaps. Not yet. Sometimes I wonder what she will do when she gets so excited and afraid.
Afraid of what, Lydia?
Paul, I think she's afraid of me. She suspects me.
You?
Yes. It's dreadful.
But how do you know?
Because every time we're alone, she goes to her room and she locks the door. She exists behind locked doors and has for some months now. It's awful. My own sister.
But, Lydia, why haven't you done something about it? I mean...
For the simple reason that as soon as someone comes into the house or we go out together, she seems perfectly normal.
Oh, she acts this way only when you are alone?
Exactly. I had a terrible time getting her to go to the specialist in Chicago. When I did, why, she carried on as though there were nothing in the world on her mind. I think the man thought I was the queer one. It was most embarrassing.
Have you ever tried leaving her alone for any period of time? Perhaps living separately?
Yes. And what I tried proved disastrous. It was a little over a month ago I took a trip into New York with some friends. When I returned, I found Lucy in a dreadful condition. For one thing, she was half-starved. Apparently, she hadn't been eating. I suppose she was too frightened to leave her room the whole time I was gone.
But I thought you said it was you of whom she's afraid.
Why, yes.
Well, then why should she fear to leave the... room once she knew you were out of the house for several days?
I can't imagine. It puzzled me at the time.
You did tell her you were going.
Why, Paul, of course I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just occurred to me that perhaps Lucy might not have realized that you had made plans for a visit and that had assumed, for some reason, that you had gone off and left her alone, stranded, or perhaps that something had happened to you and the same fate awaited her outside the room. What was her reaction when you returned?
Excuse me, Doctor, but it's almost 4 o'clock and you're due over at the hospital.
Oh, yes, Judy, I'll be right out. Well, I'm afraid, Lydia, that you have to excuse me.
Oh, of course, Paul. I'm sorry to have taken up so much of your time.
Oh, not at all. I wonder, Lydia, if I might come over to the house and see Lucy.
Why, of course, Paul. I'm sure she'd love seeing you again. Why don't you come over for tea and we'll pretend it's just a social visit?
No, thank you. I don't know about tea. It's difficult for me to get away from here during the afternoon, but I might drop over after supper, say tomorrow evening, when tea's had a chance to get fully rested.
Splendid. We'll be looking for you.
And Lydia?
Yes?
I wonder if I might see Lucy alone.
Alone?
Yes.
Why, I suppose you could.
Well, I could let myself in if necessary.
Let yourself in? You mean you don't even want me in the house?
Oh, it isn't that, Lydia. It's just that if Lucy does have some sort of complex about you, as you say, I think it would be wise for her to know that you're gone to feel completely at ease.
Oh, why, of course. I'll go to a movie or something.
Well, that'd be fine.
And now I mustn't keep you a minute longer. Until tomorrow night, then.
Tomorrow night. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Paul. Doctor, here's your coat and hat. I'm afraid you're going to be late. Here, let me help you.
Thank you.
Miss Parker's hand serious?
Her hand? Oh, no, her hand would be all right, I think. It's something else I'm wondering about. Hello, Parkers. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Lucy.
Yes?
This is Paul Christian, Lucy.
Oh, hello, Paul.
I'm just getting away from the office now, Lucy. Did Lydia tell you I planned on dropping in on you this evening?
Yes, she told me.
Oh, well, then I'll be there in a few minutes. All right?
All right.
I'm not sure just what I think about it myself, Judy. It's an unusual case.
It certainly is. Have you any idea what could be responsible for this condition, Doctor?
I don't know. With twins, it's difficult to be certain whether their ailments are because of their conception or in spite of it. Oh, when Miss Parker arrives, Judy, I wish you'd leave the door open into the office.
Hmm?
You know only one side of the story, Lydia's side. But I should like to know what your feminine intuition tells you about Lydia's, well, I'm interested in finding out to what extent, to what length you think Lydia would go if she had her mind set on something.
You mean you suspect she might be deliberately responsible for her sister's condition?
I want to know how much you think she's capable of, Lydia. Oh, good morning, Lydia.
Good morning, Paul. Miss Price. Good morning, Miss Parker.
Oh, come right on in here.
Well, Paul, what do you think? How did she act?
Well, I'm not at all sure what I think. But I did have the impression that she wasn't acting.
But didn't you see any signs of...
Of what?
Well, nervousness or instability?
Instability? No, I hardly think I would say that. Her nerves are, of course, in rather bad condition.
But, is that all?
I would rather hardly commit myself to anything more definite on the basis of what I observed last night, Lydia.
But don't you see? It only proves my point all the more. I'm the one that causes her to do these queer things. Oh, you don't understand at all.
But, Lydia, how can I help you out of your quandary if Lucy seems perfectly normal when I see her?
But that's what I told you. She controls herself when others are around. It's when we're alone that she does these queer things.
Then how am I to observe her in that condition, Lydia?
Oh, I don't know. I wish I did. This whole thing is beginning to get beyond me.
I have a question or two, Lydia. They're rather personal, but I think they might have some bearing.
Yes, of course, Paul.
Well, I've been wondering about Lucy's married life, Lydia. Would you say it was a happy marriage?
Happy? Why, it was a wonderful marriage, Paul. Emile was goodness itself to Lucy. He was thoughtful and loving, and he had the money to give her anything she desired.
And you would say that they were then a perfect match?
Why, yes, yes.
Was there perhaps something about his death, any unusual feature, I mean, that would leave a scar on Lucy's mind?
Why, I don't know of anything.
And between you two, Lydia, has there ever been any serious trouble between you? Any reason why Lucy would fear you or suspect you?
Lucy and I have been inseparable, Paul, ever since we were girls.
Yes, I know, but have you always been compatible? You've never gotten on each other's nerves just from the strain of being together day in and day out through the years, wearing the same clothes, the same hairdo, sharing the same friends?
Oh, we haven't always been that close, Paul.
No?
No. When Lucy and Emile were married, Lucy and I talked it over and decided it was, well, wise under the circumstances to each live our own lives. So I moved into an apartment by myself. Lucy and Emile were very much the ordinary newlyweds.
I see. And when Emile died?
Lucy went completely to pieces. Naturally, I wanted to be of as much help and comfort as I could, so I suggested that Lucy give up her place and move in with me. Had plenty of room for both of us, so it worked out very well.
I'm sure it was very fortunate for Lucy.
I tried my best to make her happy. Paul, what can we do for her? We can't let her go on like this.
Yes, it's a difficult problem, Lydia. You know, I wonder if River Sand is just a place for Lucy to rest, to get back to normal.
Why, Paul, it's our home. If any place could restore Lucy to her old self, it'd be the familiar surroundings of her childhood. A home, friends, the remembered scenes.
Yes, unless those things brought back memories. Unhappy, painful memories.
Paul, are you trying to tell me that I did wrong in bringing Lucy to River's End? Do you think it may actually aggravate her condition?
I think that is a difficult thing to say right at this time, Lydia. But I do suggest that you keep a careful watch on how Lucy reacts to these surroundings. Don't provoke her into any decisions. Now, I'm going to be gone for several days, Lydia.
Yes.
I have to run into Chicago on business. Why don't you drop in Monday morning?
Yes.
I'm sure that by that time you can tell something definite about her, and then we can plan accordingly.
Thank you, Paul. And I do appreciate your interest in Lucy. Probably you're the best friend we have. You've helped us so much, so many times.
That's what friends are for, Lydia, to help and to understand. I'll see you Monday, and give my regards to Lucy.
Thank you, Paul. Goodbye.
Judy.
Yes, Doctor?
Well, Judy, what do you think?
I don't know what to think about her, Doctor. What do you think?
I think that perhaps we'll have our answer Monday morning. Charlie, the old car still runs along in first-class fashion. You certainly had good use of her, haven't you?
Yep, I sure have.
Anything new at the office, Judy?
Oh, some new faces, Doctor, but the same troubles. Oh, yes, Miss Parker called.
Lydia?
Yes, she said to tell you that you were right and that she was taking Lucy to their brother's place in California.
I see.
Say, that Lydia Parker you're talking about, Doctor?
Yes, Charlie. Have you seen her this time?
Yep. I took her to train last night. Then near missed it, too. Yeah, she seems about the same, don't she, Doctor?
Yes, there's not much change.
Yeah. Funny thing how she goes on about her sister, ain't it? Yes, sir, it sure is a funny thing. Say, how long has Lucy been dead, anyway? Must be now on to 40 years, ain't it?
Dead? Lucy Parker dead?
Yes, Judy. Lucy died of pneumonia in the spring of 1901.
Oh, but, Doctor, well, then this whole thing is... You knew this all the time?
Yes, Judy, I knew. I was pallbearer at Lucy's funeral.
Oh, but why did you let me think that... Good heavens. No, I don't understand Miss Parker. Is she mad?
Mad? Insanity is a harsh word, Judy. Especially for Lydia. She's not dangerous, I know now. And as she is always saying about Lucy, She's perfectly normal in some respects. But Lucy and Lydia are very close, as most twins are, and Lydia never got over Lucy's death. Never once in all these years has she admitted that she's alone, that Lucy is not still with her.
Oh, but what do people think when
she... Why should they think anything? Lydia only comes back to Riversend occasionally, usually with just a little different story about Lucy and her recent activities. Is it asking so much to expect a little sympathy and understanding? Now, who are we to say that Lydia is queer under thoughts that are closest to her heart? Reminds me of something my grandmother told me one time many years ago. All the world is queer save thee and me, and even thou art a little queer.
The curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star waiting to greet you. But first, a word from Judy Price.
When the summer sun beats down, it doesn't take much exposure to get a burning, stinging, painful sunburn. Should that happen to you, friends, if you get a sunburn that fairly cries out for relief, reach for Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. It does bring relief. And Vaseline Petroleum Jelly relieves sunburn not one way, but three ways. It supplements the natural skin oils dried out by the sun. And next, it forms a protective film that guards against infection when the skin blisters or cracks. And third, Vaseline Petroleum Jelly soothes, helps promote quick healing. Remember, it's sunburn, and petroleum jelly is widely accepted as an effective surface treatment for burns, both overseas and here at home. And Vaseline Petroleum Jelly is the world's leading brand. So when you get a sunburn or any minor household burn, apply Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Your druggist has it in both jars and handy tubes. Get Vaseline Petroleum Jelly tonight. And remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. The play you've just heard is the work of George D. Griffin of Washington, D.C. Radio writing is, for the duration of the war, my recreation, he writes. The Liar is my first original script to hit the airwaves, although CBS has produced one of my adaptations three times. For next week, we have selected a prize play called The Legend of Khorasan by Howard Buerman of Denver, Colorado. So we invite you all to listen next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time, same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Men, give your hair the ideal summertime care with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Just 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic a day supplement the natural scalp oils depleted by summer sun, wind, and water. So keep your hair looking its well-groomed best. Start tomorrow using Vaseline Hair Tonic. Don't fail to hear The Legend of Khorasan next Wednesday night at this hour. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.